At JCPenney, fashion counts for everybody and every body. The weather is getting warmer and it's time to swap my winter layers for fun, vibrant, and cool clothing. With so many fun things happening this spring, like Mother's Day and the Wind Down Tour, it's hard to find great looking clothes that fit you just right. That's why I love JCPenney. JCPenney has so many stylish and comfortable options for so many different body types. I've been blown away by their selection and everything hugs my body in all the right spots. Refresh your wardrobe this spring with style that gets you. Something to wear that fits your favorite moments of the season at prices that feel just as good. Discover brands that get you and put style and comfort first, like Worthington and Liz Claiborne for her, each in women's petite and plus sizes. Here, spring comes in all shapes, sizes, and colors. JCPenney, make everybody count.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
The NFL draft is now officially open.
This is draft season. John Schmelk, Tony Pauline with you as we head into December in college football season. We have a big show coming your way today. We're going to go over Tony and I's first round grades for this year's draft class, some of the blue chip, red chip, and then, you know, we'll do some honorable mention to guys that could be end of round one, beginning of round two type of guys. And but first, Tony, and again, Tony Pauline from Sports Kita joining us as always. You know, a lot of news coming out this time of year. We talked about this at the end of last week's show, where you're going to have start having declarations, transfer portal news. We got a bunch of Reese's Senior Bowl announcements as well. Where would you, I guess the big news from this morning, we should start here because it's the biggest name. Caleb Williams will not play in the Holiday Bowl for USC. Not a surprise. He hasn't announced it yet, but it'd be shocking if he is not in the draft this year, obviously. And I think him not playing in the bowl game is the first sign that that's going to be the case, right?
You would think so. Now, Williams a week ago said it, he was going to make a last minute decision as to whether or not he's going to turn pro. And I'm not surprised by that. I mean, if you remember, CJ Stroud, you know, waited till the very last minute before he decided if he was going to go pro. And what they're going to do is, they're going to, you know, Caleb Williams, like CJ Stroud last year, is going to see, you know, what kind of NIL money's thrown in his way. And if he can get a $30, $35 million NIL deal, which I don't think is, out of the question, you know, it's going to give him pause. Now, if I'm Caleb Williams, I'm looking at USC. They weren't a good team this year. I don't think they're going to be a better team next year. They now move from the Pac-12 to the Big Ten. I think everything points that he should make the move to the next level. But again, you know, as we will talk about, you know, the NIL deal has really thrown a massive wrench into all of this. I spoke with agents. I spoke with scouts yesterday as the news of the transfer portal was coming to fruition and all these guys were entering the transfer portal. And they said, you know, this is crazy. Guys who everyone thought was going to enter the draft, now they're in the transfer portal. We'll see. They're in the transfer portal as much probably because they want to consider staying for a year. If they get the money that they hope for in the NIL, they'll probably stay for another year. But then again, they could also do an about face and enter the draft.
Yeah, a couple names I want to throw out there. And again, I think Caleb Williams too, maybe Tony wants to see who's got the first couple picks in the draft also, right? Like, is a team up there that he's like, I want no part of going there. And if that's a part of the factor too, maybe that would impact his decision whether or not to go back as well. You mentioned a bunch of guys in the transfer portal. I'll list a bunch of them. You can attack whichever ones you want. DJ Uiagalelei, who entered the transfer portal. Duke quarterback Riley Leonard entered the transfer portal recently. Cam Ward, Tyler Van Dyke, Miami quarterback in the transfer portal. Will Rogers in the transfer portal. Will Howard, Tyler Slow. So a lot of guys here that are kind of feeling out what their best situation might be. And Tyler Van Dyke, by the way, announced he's going to take a meeting with Notre Dame as a possible destination for him. That was Riley Leonard that's taking the potential meeting with Notre Dame for his potential transfer. So attack those guys however you want.
Grayson McCall, Coastal Carolina, going to the transfer portal. Graham Mertz of Florida going back. Now, let's look at the top three guys. Ulele had a terrific season at Oregon State, really helped recoup some of his draft stock. Middle round choice, he's in the transfer portal. Cam Ward, probably a middle round choice, very underrated, great athlete who has to develop his passing game, middle round choice. Tyler Van Dyke, middle round choice, he's going to the transfer portal, leaving Miami. You know, you're looking at what we thought was going to be a really deep class of quarterbacks. Now it's starting to thin out a bit. All these guys, the three guys I mentioned, are all potential middle-round choices. Yeah. They're not going to be there. I think the situation with Ulele at Oregon State and Cam Ward at Washington State is just the shape of things to come for those two programs who have no conference. You know, they're basically programs without a conference, and you're going to see a lot of guys leave those two respective schools. When you talk about Will Rogers of Mississippi State, Grayson McCall of formerly of Coastal Carolina, Graham Mertz going back to Florida, Will Howard of Kansas State, Tyler Slow, who had a brilliant freshman season at Oregon, has had a lot of injury issues at Texas Tech and to be on his third team. Those are day three guys. Those are your developmental guys. You know, the bigger picture here is these guys now have options to go back, make a lot of money through the NIL, progress their games or continue to hopefully improve their games. But what it does is it's going to hurt the depth of the position. And as we talked about, we thought that this was going to be a really deep year at the quarterback class. This doesn't kill the class, but it goes from being a really deep class of quarterbacks to, yeah, it's deep. The interesting thing is this. I mean, a year ago, we were talking to Jim Nagy and all those other people. We talked about how all these seniors were going back for the extra senior season, which diluted the 2023 draft. And the expectations are now this draft was going to be loaded because those guys were going to be in the draft. But now we're seeing a lot of seniors, or we're seeing the tip of the crust of these seniors saying, hey, I'm going to enter the transfer portal, probably going to go back. Are we going to have the same problem in 2024 that we had in 2023?
Yeah, we could. And then again, Riley Leonard from Duke, another guy in the transfer portal. Again, he might go to Notre Dame. They're going to have a meeting. And then Pete Thamel from ESPN reported, Tony, that Quinn Ewers is likely to return to Texas. Another guy. And again, I think that's the right move for him in terms of his development. But another guy that would have been a day two pick here if he came out, and that's going to thin out the quarterback class even more if he stays.
Day two pick, potential late first round pick. Yeah. I mean, if some team in the late first round wants to get a quarterback and develop them, and I agree with you. I think that Quinn Ewers going back is probably the best thing for his game. Now, obviously, you get into the situation where, well, Texas has Arch Manning there. What's going to happen with Arch Manning? What's going to happen if Quinn Ewers doesn't play well? Had that brilliant Big 12 game. And again, you're talking about a high-end quarterback who – it doesn't surprise me because I had been reporting all along that it was 50-50 whether Quinn Ewers was going to enter the draft. I never got the feeling that he was definitely entering the draft. Say, like, I have a strong feeling that Caleb Williams and Drake May are going to enter the draft. But again, you know, you're right. That's the top-end guy who's not going to be available at the quarterback position in the 2024 NFL draft.
Yeah, and I'll just stick with the quarterbacks real quick, and then I'll hit the rest of the Senior Bowl guys we've gotten word on. But Spencer Rattler, a quarterback, he's going to be at the Senior Bowl as a quarterback. That'll give him a chance. We know about his tools to play well. And then Michael Pratt out of Tulane. And Tulane, Tony, is an excellent non-Power 5 team, maybe the best non-Power 5 team in terms of a mid-major. They're phenomenal. He's going to be at the Senior Bowl as a quarterback as well. Those will be two fun guys to watch in Alabama. Yeah,
even though Tulane lost the American Athletic Conference Championship to SMU on Saturday. But yeah. Pratt was disappointing in that game. I have a very high opinion of Pratt. He's sort of your poor man's Bo Nix, if you will, in the sense that he's more of a game manager, but he's smart. He's accurate, precise with his throws, does a great job moving the chains, struggled against SMU. But again, when we see Michael Pratt at the Senior Bowl, we're going to be looking at his arm strength. Can he drive the ball downfield with speed? Are receivers, is he hitting the receivers downfield 35, 40 yards in stride? Or do they have to slow up and wait for the ball to get to them? A lot of good things about Michael Pratt going on between the ears. It's basically from the shoulders down. Does he have that next level arm? At the very least, I think Michael Pratt is a mid-day three pick. It was going to be an exceptional backup at the next level. I really like Michael Pratt. I hope he shows a gun at the Senior Bowl. Not too hopeful about that, but it's good to see that. And he was an early, accepted his invitation a couple of weeks ago. Some hometown flavor there, obviously, with New Orleans not being too far away from Mobile. It's a good selection. As far as Spencer Rattler is concerned, I mean, you want to talk about a guy who's up and down. I mean, here's a guy who has a true freshman at Oklahoma. Everyone thought he's going to be a great quarterback. He's going to be a top five pick. He's going to lead Oklahoma to the national championship. Comes out of the gate the following year, basically falls on his face, was replaced by, oh, by the way, Caleb Williams at Oklahoma, who's going to be the first pick of the draft this year. Rattler's has shown no consistency in his game. You know, you don't know what you're getting with Spencer Rattler. And I think that's something. I think with Spencer Rattler, his interviews off the field in Mobile at the Senior Bowl are going to be as important as his play on the field.
Yeah. And they've actually, I think, Tony, altered some of those interview rules they're going to have in at the Senior Bowl as well, to try to give kids a little bit more of a balance in terms of their interview time as well. One of the transfer portal name, not necessarily directly related to the draft, but Georgia backup quarterback Brock Vandergriff has entered the transfer portal. A lot of people then are presupposing that means that Carson Beck's going to go back there as Georgia's starting quarterback. And I know Georgia lost to Alabama, and we'll get to the conference title games here in a second. I like Beck, Tony. I think another year, I think we're talking about him as a first-round quarterback next year.
Yeah, absolutely. He's got those physical skills. You know, he's got the better arm than the guy that he replaced.
Quick release, too.
He's played good football. I think he surprised a lot of people at the level he played at this year. Struggled against Alabama, who basically played lights out on Saturday in the SEC title game. But again, you know, he's got all the tools. He's put it together slowly but surely. And I would agree with you. Another big year, you could see him as a top 32 pick in 2025.
And then Nate Wiggins, cornerback out of Clemson, he announced too that he's going to be coming out. Could be the first cornerback off the board with those two Alabama guys in the mix too.
I still think it's going to be Kool-Aid McKistry, but, you know, Clemson has a history. You look at putting good defensive backs, especially cornerbacks, into the NFL draft, and Wiggins is absolutely the next one in line.
All right, so let's roll through a couple of the Senior Bowl announcements. Some of these are a little bit older, Tony. Some of them are newer. I'm going to rattle a few off. You can kind of talk about which ones you want to touch on real quick. A couple offensive linemen, Jordan Morgan, Graham Barton, two offensive linemen that'll be there. Barton's one of those kind of tackle college, probably going to be a guard in the pros. Could be the first guard off the board in the draft, if that's how teams view him. Leitu Latu out of UCLA will be at the Senior Bowl. He's a really good pass rusher. He'll be a lot of fun. Tommy Eichenberg saying he's going to go there out of Ohio State. He'll be a fun guy to watch. The big 6'7 wide receiver Johnny Wilson out of Florida State. He'll be there. That'll be fun. Fellow Florida State Seminole Brandon, I think, Fiske, the defensive tackle. He'll be there. A player we talked about last week, a linebacker you like, Adam Mizzou, Teron Hopper. He will be at the Senior Bowl. And then Xavier Leggett, a wide receiver from South Carolina, we talked about last week as well. He'll be there. And then Byron Murphy, the big defensive tackle out of Texas, a guy we talked about on last week's show. We talked about a lot of guys on last week's show, also accepting a Senior Bowl invite. So those are some pretty nice names that are going to be down in Alabama to watch for a week down there at the end of January.
Barton, as well as Jordan Morgan from Arizona, who I have as a potential late first round pick, the athletic left tackle from Arizona, who may also be kicked into guard, but he's going to be a fun guy to watch. Great in pass protection. Can he move guys off the ball, run blocking? As far as Xavier Leggett, he's fast. He can get down the field. Can he run routes? Is he just a vertical guy who really slows up moving the left and right? Or can he show some ability to separate running those routes? You know, you want to see, you know, with Wilson of Florida State, do they even think about using him as a move tight end? Do they think about, you know, kick him inside, or is he solely going to play wide out? That's the beauty of the tight end. You mentioned Barton. I talked about Jordan Morgan, you know, playing different positions. Eichenberg of Ohio State, real good run stuffer, tough, nasty guy. How does he do making plays in reverse? How does he do in those one-on-one cover drills against the running backs and the tight ends? That's where he's either going to make his money, or people are going to say he's a two-down run defender.
And then Graham Barton, I heard, might even try to take some center snaps at the Senior Bowl as well, Tony, to get some of that position flex to kind of see what he can do. And again, I'm curious to see Byron Murphy in those one-on-one pass rush drills at defensive tackle. I think he'll give some offensive linemen real horror stories in some of those drills, which are so much fun to watch. All right, let's get to the conference title games here. A lot of big games last week, Tony. And what we expected to be a really entertaining high-scoring game was an entertaining high-scoring game, Washington and Oregon. And it's funny, you sent me your list of guys you wanted to talk about, and the first guy on your list was the first guy on my list, because I think we saw Jalen McMillan really healthy for the first time since maybe September or early October. I think September, right, is when he suffered that initial injury. And boy, you saw that separation ability and they treated him as much as Rome Odunze as a go-to receiver. They're trying to isolate him in big third down situations, get him the football, and that guy knows how to get open.
You saw what he means to that offense. I mean, whether it's separating and underneath routes, whether it's getting vertical, I mean, the burst, the quickness, the footwork, the, you know, everybody, including myself, we were all gushing over Odunze, you know, the past couple of weeks. And I'm like, yeah, you know, I didn't have a first round grade on him. Maybe I'm wrong. And then McMillan comes in and I go back to what I thought initially about how McMillan, I view him as a better pro prospect because of his speed, because of his quickness, because of his ability to separate through routes, catches the ball extremely well. I mean, you just saw what that guy means to that offense and how they were able to take it basically to another level with him on the field. I think he's going to be a great pro prospect. I think he is. It's going to be interesting to watch, you know, the difference between he and Odunze. Obviously, if you want the taller, stronger receiver, you go into Odunze. But if you want that Jordan Addison with speed, that's what Jalen McMillan is.
Do you think McMillan definitely comes out despite the fact he had an injury-riddled season?
Why not? I mean, look how he played at the end of the season. Yeah, look how he played in the Pac-12 title game. I mean, you know, he hasn't been consistently injured because he played well in 2022. So it's not that the injuries are nagging injuries. I mean, in the way he's finished the season thus far, let's see how he does in the college football playoffs. But I think right now, there was talk about those guys entering the 2023 draft. Odunze, who was an underclassman, and McMillan. I reported that they were both going to go back. I can't see, especially with Penix on the way out and the team in the college football playoffs, I don't see how McMillan returns.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. Both quarterbacks had their moments in that game. Penix made some really nice throws. That over route he threw to Odunze in between the two defenders was a phenomenal throw. And then Bo Nix, he started rough, Tony. In the first couple drives, he kind of looked panicked. He had happy feet, but then he settled down and played a nice game too.
I think you see the difference between the two types of quarterbacks. I mean, Penix is the arm talent. Penix is the guy that, you know, throws the ball downfield. You get the big throws. You get those highlight, you know, 40-yard bombs, where Bo Nix is just very efficient. He protects the football. He moves the chains, and he gets his team into the end zone.
He gets the ball out quick. He's getting that ball out fast every time.
And he's smart. I mean, yeah. You know, he had that huge – had nobody to throw the ball to. He had that huge run, which got Oregon back in the game, I believe it was at the end of the second half. The things that really worry me about Penix is fundamentally not all that sound. I saw oftentimes he's throwing the ball off his back foot. He's not following through on throws. And you can get away with that on Saturday. You can't do that on Sunday because – that means that the passes are off target. Receivers are adjusting to throws, which consistently happens, and it ends up into either a defended pass or an intercepted pass. He's got great arm talent. The fundamentals bother me. And again, you know, we talked about Michael Prater from Tulane. I said he's a poor man's Bo Nix. With Bo Nix, what is his arm strength? Obviously, he's going to make the decision whether or not he's going to enter the draft. I would be surprised if Bo Nix does not enter the draft. He surprised a lot of people last year saying he's going to go back. He's got one more year left. I think he's going to enter the draft. I think we could see him once he declares at the Senior Bowl. I mean, he was a player at Auburn for a while, his father's legacy at Auburn. And I think if Bo Nix goes to the Senior Bowl, we're going to be looking at some of the similar things from him that we're going to be looking at from Michael Prater. Can he get the ball downfield with speed, or is he just sort of a dink and dunk type passer?
Do you think both those guys right now are day two picks, Penix and Nix?
I think Nix absolutely is. I think Penix, it will depend on how the workouts go, how he throws at the combine, and the medicals.
Do you think Penix goes to the Senior Bowl?
I think he should go to the Senior Bowl. I think, you know, if he gets an invite, he absolutely should go to the Senior Bowl. You know, I think with Washington, you got to wait and see how the season goes. I mean, because, you know, now these guys are going deeper into January because of the college football playoffs. They get nicked up. They may not be ready in time.
Absolutely. And then you wanted to talk about Washington's two offensive tackles. And Fontenot, I know, had a really nice game against Oregon. I think left tackle, right?
Yeah, Fontenot's the left tackle who a lot of people think he's going to be the first guard taken off the board. He'll be the first guard drafted as a zone blocking guy. A little bit of a smaller guy, 6'3 and a half, 300, just over 300 pounds. Mobile, terrific pass protector. I wrote about him earlier in the season at Sports Geeta because he really impressed me. But Rosengarten was the guy who stood out to me, the right tackle.
He's a big boy, man.
not just his pass blocking, not just his run blocking, but multiple times they would pull him across the line of scrimmage. He wouldn't kick out or just get to the second one. They would pull him across the line of scrimmage, and he was fluid. He was quick. He was fast. He created space for the running back, and he got pulled across the line of scrimmage, then got out to the second level and was taking linebackers and defensive backs from the action. Just really impressed me with his athleticism and the ability to basically cover such a large amount of area on the field with balance and body control and annihilate the Oregon defenders.
We mentioned the report that Quinn Ewers might go back, but you were impressed with him in the Big 12 title game against Oklahoma, Tone?
How could you not be? I mean, what he threw for almost 500 yards, four TDs, and he was taken out of the game. I mean, you know, Texas just hammered Oklahoma State in that game, and I thought he played very well. My concerns about Quinn Ewers is sometimes he seems a little bit slow pulling the trigger. Sometimes he's a little bit late making his decision. I talk to people about that, and they say he just doesn't want to make a mistake. Okay, fine, but, you know, you can't do that on Sunday. But again, you know, Quinn Ewers at the top of his game, he's one of the best vertical passers, consistent vertical passers, you know, your gunslinger in this year's quarterback class, assuming he was going to enter the draft. But there were some things with the hesitancy that concerned me. But I mean, how could you not like his performance Saturday against Oklahoma State?
And Tony wants to talk some Conference USA title game here, Tony. What do you got?
Well, it's funny because, you know, the same time he had that shootout in the Pac-12 title game, there was a CBS Sportsnet, the Conference USA title game was also a shootout. I think the final score was 42-35 between undefeated Liberty, who's going to be playing in New Year's Day bowl game, and New Mexico State, who basically came off the trash heap with their new coach, Jerry Kill, which is good to see. Their right guard, Xavier Gadlin, is a guy who I watched early in his career at Tulsa when he was the starting left tackle for Tulsa. And this guy jumped off the film at me. He's played right tackle. He's played left tackle. He's played guard. He's like 6'3 and change, 315 pounds. He's a guy who's expected to run in the low fives. He's athletic. He's mobile. I go back and forth with scouts about him. Scouts are kind of hot and cold on him. I just see what this guy's done all throughout his career. Played very well in that Conference USA title game. Whenever Liberty had a run, they ran right behind him. They had a nice touchdown where he just smothered, just completely engulfed the defender. He's a guy to watch in the postseason. Don't think he'll go to the Senior Bowl. Hopefully he gets in a Shrine game. At the very least, if you watch the Hula Bowl, I'm sure he'll be at the Hula Bowl, which is now in Florida, but in the state of Florida. But he is a guy to keep an eye on, and he just has been a consistent football player going back to his days at Tulsa.
All right, then let's go to the SEC title game, and you want to highlight J.C. Latham, who I know a lot of, and we'll talk about him. I have him as a first-round pick. They're big, huge, gigantic right tackle, and he continues to play well.
And it wasn't just the fact that he just mauled people or he overpowered them. When I watch Latham, I mean, the technique, the fundamentals, the knee bend, blocking with great pad level, using his hands well, really good in pass protection, outstanding as a run blocker, just dominated the opponents, just played fundamentally sound football. And really, you know, I am still concerned about the weight, the 360 pounds. We talked about this, you know, early on in the year. You know, you look at the offensive tackles that have come out of Alabama, those really big guys have never really lived up to expectations. That is my concern with Latham. But the film doesn't lie. And he is a terrific, and he's not just a guy who physically beats up the opponent. He blocks with solid fundamentals, which was very impressive. And let me say this, you know, you talked about Beck from Georgia. I mean, Jalen Milroe, wow. I mean, here's a guy who in September, we're looking at a running quarterback who is a thrower. And this guy has shown so much development in his game to become a passer, to become a real good quarterback, accurate. You saw that pass that won the Auburn game, which there's not too many people that can make that sort of pass. And I just love the, you know, we talk about Penix, how poor fundamentals, the ball's all over the place. I love what I see with Jalen Milroe. And I think Jalen Milroe is on the trajectory to be a very, very early pick in the NFL draft. Let me ask you this.
Wasn't he number one in his high school recruiting class too, Milroe? He was a huge prospect, I think, right?
Let me ask you this. If the draft was today, would you take Jalen Milroe today or Anthony Richardson from a year ago? And my point is this, is when I watch Jalen Milroe, he is more accomplished. He is further ahead as far as being a passer than Anthony Richardson is, in my opinion. And he's only a true sophomore. So the sky is the limit with this guy.
Can I take Jaden Daniels over both of them? Can I do that?
You can, but I think in the long run, I'll take Jalen Milroe, but you can do that. I mean,
yeah, I mean, and Daniel's obviously a little bit smaller in stature than those two guys who are gigantic human beings, which is a big part of that, too. We should note. Then ACC title game, Tony. Obviously, after we talk about the game, we'll talk about what happened on Sunday with the selection committee. But you have three guys in that game you wanted to highlight. One guy we already mentioned.
You know, a lot of people thought, including myself, that Florida State was going to have a tough go of it. They were playing with their third-string quarterback. Were they able to score? They didn't need to score because their defense
stopped
them.
They didn't have to, exactly.
And, I mean, everybody talks about Jared Verse. Well, they got three other guys on that defensive line who complement each other well. Fabian Lovett, who started his college career at North Carolina State, a big sort of gap occupier in the middle who takes on the blockers. Joshua Farmer, sophomore, number 44, who is sort of your – he's big, he's strong, but he's also athletic, penetrates the line of scrimmage. And Braden Fisk, who you mentioned going to Senior Bowl. I remember Braden Fisk when he played at Western Michigan. I had a draftable grade on them. They're a little bit smaller, but a guy who's athletic, he's fierce. The motor just goes and goes and goes and goes. And I thought all three of those defensive linemen, forgetting about Jared Verse for a second, really established themselves and really helped Florida State, you know, to that ACC victory. I mean, Louisville was really never in the game. Another guy who I mentioned in my Sports Skeet article is Tatum Bethune, who started his college career at Central Florida, had that important interception in the end zone, had another big pass defense early on. He's been a tackling machine. He's smaller. He's maybe a seventh-round pick, but a guy like Tatum Bethune from Florida State by way of Central Florida, if he's not a late-round pick, he's going to be a PFA, and he's absolutely a situational linebacker who can play special teams on Sunday.
Yeah, and you mentioned his name a couple times. I'll just throw Jared Verse out there too, Tony. He's really closed his season strong, really helped close out both of Florida State's last two wins with some big sacks. Just shows so much. I don't know how many times I watched the tape and he's just pushing the offensive tackle into the lap of the quarterback with his power. We'll see if that translates to the NFL where it's a little bit tougher and the tackles are bigger and stronger. But, he's going to be a top 20 pick in this draft. And I think he's a very safe player given his motor, technique, strength, and all that stuff.
Want to see what his testing times. I don't think he's the fastest guy in the world.
I agree.
You mentioned he's pushing the offensive tackles back at 240, 245 pounds. So a lot of it's going to come down to his testing numbers. He's a terrific player, but my point in mentioning the other three is I think those other three make Jared Verse's job a little bit easier because you can't double Jared Verse because you got Fisk on the inside and the outside. You got Farmer and Fabian Lovett on the inside. So it basically leaves Verse oftentimes in one-on-one situations on the outside.
Absolutely. Guys, don't forget, subscribe to Draft Season Podcast. Just search for it on your favorite podcast platform or go to the Giants app or giants.com/podcast. Remember, this is a draft podcast, not a Giants podcast. Make sure you go and do that. All right. We said we kind of review and get back to our first round grades in this year's draft class, Tony. We've already gone like a half an hour, so we'll try to go through these in like 10, 15 minutes, do it pretty quick here. We have some honorable mentions as well. Obviously, these grades can change for some of the players that are still playing. We have all the post stuff with the Senior Bowl and the combine testing and all that stuff, but I thought it would be a good idea to kind of reset here. The last time we did this was, I believe, early October. So it's been a couple months, and let's see how things have shifted here. And I'm going to start with the guys that, and I think me and you're on the same page here. You have one more guy in kind of your top tier than I do, but otherwise I think it's pretty identical. And I'll consider all of these guys, in my mind, blue chip players. Caleb Williams, and I'll put these in your order. Marvin Harrison Jr., Brock Bowers, Olu Fashanu, Drake May, and Joe Alt, the tackle out of Notre Dame. I'm with you. Those are also my top six players. And then you have Chop Robinson also kind of right behind them at seven. I have him a little bit further down. I have him in my first round as well. But, you know, that's a really impressive blue chip top six that I think teams would be very happy to get in the top 10 of this draft.
And unlike the past 2 years where the top of the draft was heavy with defensive players, I mean, it's all offensive players at the top of the draft this year with two quarterbacks, with two offensive tackles, with a premier receiver, with an outstanding tight end. So it's a mix and match of everything. You got the quarterback, you got the blockers, you got the pass catchers. You know, do you want the 235-pound tight end that can make plays all over the field and gives effort blocking? Do you want the guy who's the game controlling receiver who can also stretch it deep? Or do you want to build your franchise around one of the two quarterbacks or protect your quarterback with a guy like Fasciano? So it's an offensive heavy draft at the top. And I think there's a lot of variety at the different positions. It's not all quarterbacks or it's not all one position.
And then you start getting into some defensive players here, Tony. Why don't you kind of give me that next group on your list?
I know I'm higher than Chop Robinson on most people. Chop Robinson may not go as high as I have him rated. Let's see what happens two or three years down the road. I think he's just a phenomenal defensive impact player. You can line him up in the three-point stance. He can stand over tackle. He makes plays in space. Dallas Turner, who had a pretty good game in the SEC title game, is just a fierce. He's more than an edge rusher. You're going to keep calling him an edge rusher, but you watch Dallas Turner over the course of his Alabama career. He's a guy who's made plays in space. I still have Shedeur Sanders as an early pick, even though he's very unlikely to enter the draft. Kool-Aid McKinstry of Alabama, guy who he's got excellent size, real good ball skills, makes a lot of plays with his back to the ball, gets his head back around, doesn't do a lot of face guarding, which is really important. Jared Verse of Florida State, who we already spoke about. Jerzon Newton of Illinois, impact player this year at Illinois. I mean, a guy who Illinois had struggled throughout most of the season, but Newton was a guy who made play after play after play, showed up every week for Illinois. The thing with Newton is he's 6'1", 300 pounds. Is he a conventional defensive tackle? Is he a three technique tackle? Is he a defensive end in a three man front? I think that's the only thing that will push Newton down further than where he really deserves to go.
Yeah, no question about it. You got a few more guys here, Tony. I'm with you on all those guys. I don't have Newton quite as high on my board as you do on yours. Otherwise, all those guys you listed, I have his first round picks there. Kool-Aid McKinstry, I'm not as high on him as you are. I have him kind of on the back end of that first round, one of my last first round grades, but I'm there with you on that. And then Nate Wiggins, who you have as your, let's see, that would be your 16th player, I believe, or 14th player.
13th.
I'm sorry?
13th.
Sorry. My counting here is not apparently up to par. From Clemson, we mentioned him earlier coming out. I have him above McKinstry in terms of my rankings. I think he's going to – I just love his natural cover skills, even though he's a little thin and not as strong as McKinstry in terms of being physical. You have Tyler Guyton, the offensive tackle out of Oklahoma. And then Jaden Daniels sneaking in with that first round grade out of LSU. I have him in my first round as well.
Yeah, and I think Daniels, the postseason is going to be very important. If he plays in the postseason, you know, we've seen this before where a quarterback builds up momentum, has a much better year than people expect, and then he doesn't show up at the Senior Bowl. I think Jaden Daniels, I'm sure he's going to get a Senior Bowl invite. I think it would be to his benefit to show up at the Senior Bowl. As I've said ad nauseum, the Senior Bowl is a kingmaker at the quarterback position. And, you know, good for Jaden Daniels, because you go back to his days at Arizona State, where he showed flashes, but there wasn't a lot of consistency. Even last year, especially early in the season, he was up and down, finished the season strong. I mean, he just went, he was terrific, had some struggles against Florida State, but he just showed up week after week. And I think the thing with Daniels is he played smart football as well as productive physical football. It wasn't just he was throwing bombs down the field. He was using all his receivers. He was picking up yards with his legs. He was protecting the football. It was a complete game for Daniels. And teams are going to like that. Now, he's not the biggest guy in the world, 6'3 and a half, 200 pounds, so he's a little bit thin. You hope he can put on some weight. You wonder how that's going to work out or what teams are going to think about that. But listen, I've always been a believer in that you're better off getting a quarterback who's on the up trajectory than a guy who's coming off a bad season. And there's no doubt about it. Jaden Daniels, who's probably going to win the Heisman Trophy, is on the trajectory moving north.
All right, I'm going to throw out a couple. I have a couple more guys in the first round that you have in your honorable mention category. In fact, one guy's not in your honorable mention category. We'll talk about why, and I know why, but we'll explain it for the fans. I have Malik Nabers in there, Tony. I think he's going to be the second wide receiver off the board. Everything's just so smooth for him. He's explosive. He catches the ball easily. He makes yards after the catch. He runs good routes. He gets open. NFL teams are looking for wide receivers. I think there's a chance he's a top 12 pick, top 10 pick maybe even, for as teams look for these big-time playmakers and wide receiver. So I have Malik Nabers in there, and the other guy I have in there in the first round, two other guys in the first round that you do not, is Leetu Latu out of UCLA, and that's a medical thing. And then right. I have J.C. Latham out of Alabama, the big offensive tackle, in there in my first round as well. What do you think about those three?
Well, Latu is exactly. Latu could go first round, but there could be teams that take him off the board because of the medical issues. Remember, I mean, Washington medical failed him. He had to go to UCLA because Washington wouldn't let him play. Latham, I can't disagree with you about the film, but I just think the size is going to be a bit much. And I think it's going to be, that's my concern, which means that, okay, he could go first round, but let's see where he is, you know, 2 or 3 years down the road. Like I said, and I want to mention names, you know, Alabama, these big hulking offensive tackles who were dominant on Saturday at Alabama, they've not panned out. They've not met expectations. And that's my concern. That's my, there are only a few Daniel Falele's, you know, in the league, in this world, guys that are 370 pounds and can carry themselves like they're 320 pounds. We'll see what happens with Latham. And who was the, I'm sorry, the third guy?
My third guy was Neighbors.
Well, I agree with Neighbors. I mean, I have Neighbors as a late first, early second. I could see it. I want to see the testing numbers. Sometimes it's a little bit difficult with underclassmen.
All right, so let's go over some of your honorable mentions here, Tony, and I'll throw a couple of the other names out there as well. You have one quarterback in your honorable mentions. That's J.J. McCarthy. And I got to imagine this is going to be fluid, right? Because if he gets into one of these playoff games and they're going to have to throw the ball a little bit more, that could tell some of these scouts a lot.
I mean, he played well on Saturday. And when they've asked him to throw the ball, he's done a good job. They just don't need him to throw the ball that much with that offensive line, with those two running backs. I think with J.J. McCarthy, it's going to be the size issue and it's going to be the arm strength issue. I think J.J. McCarthy, I would not take J.J. McCarthy in the first round, but I think there are going to be teams that absolutely fall in love with him. And there are so many teams that need quarterback that J.J. McCarthy will end up in the first round. The thing about McCarthy is I love his moxie. I love his confidence. I love the way he carries himself. I love the way he's the leader of the offense. Those are intangibles that you look for. But, you know, he's not a guy that's throwing the ball consistently 30, 35 times a game, primarily because they don't need him to. I mean, you got that offensive line that pushes opponents up and down the field, and you got Blake Corum and Edwards, who've done a great job for him.
You mentioned Neighbors also, and Quinn Ewers also, by the way, in your honorable mention. We already talked about him earlier in the show. You have Neighbors as a wide receiver, also with Donnie Mitchell. But no Roma Dunzier, no Keon Coleman, and I'll throw Troy Franklin in there too out of Oregon, Tony. I think you're going to, when all is said and done, whether the grades dictated or not, I think you're probably going to have, you know, six wide receivers or so, maybe five going round number one. And I think all those guys I mentioned, and plus Adonai Mitchell, who's in your honorable mention category here, also fantastic, are all guys going to be considered potential late first round picks.
Absolutely. You want to see their testing numbers. But then again, you know, I mean, how slow should I say did Jordan Addison run last year for a smaller receiver? And he ended up in the first round.
And he's been great, by the way.
He has been outstanding. Mitchell, maybe it's just a sentiment thing with me, but I remember watching him as a true freshman at Georgia, how he dominated the action, had some injury struggles the second year last year at Georgia. But when he was on the field, the semifinal game against Ohio State, he tore it up, and he's a guy who, he's not the fastest guy in the world, but he's sneaky fast. He gets down the field. He runs great routes. He's just got great awareness, and he's got those soft, natural hands, catches everything, plays with great body control, uses the sidelines well, and he's got excellent size. I mean, he's a guy who's going to be over 6'3", just like Mitchell. Mitchell, a real lot.
All right, then you have one tight end, Jatavion Sanders. I know you've been high on since the beginning of the year.
Big athletic guy. He's fluid. He moves around the field. I mean, look to it. Quinn Ewers is going to stay, but he's probably going to lose Xavier Worthy. He's probably going to lose Adonai Mitchell, and he's probably going to lose Sanders. So, you know, but he's going to stay. He's going to lose his pass-catching stable. I mean, Sanders is a guy, he's not a complete tight end. He's prone to an occasional lapse here and there, but he's big. He's athletic. He gets down the field. He catches the ball very well. He plays with excellent agility and balance, as well as body control. Guy who I think he's going to be a better player 2 or 3 years down the road than he is right now. And he's got a huge amount of upside.
Absolutely. And then a couple of offensive tackles, Talisi Fuaga, who we've talked about from Oregon State, and then Jordan Morgan from Arizona, who I know you're very high on.
Right. Morgan, who I talked about earlier, going to be at the Senior Bowl. Left tackle, terrific pass blocker. Let's see if they use him at guard. I think he's a zone blocking type of lineman. And Fuego, who a lot of people like, I mean, a lot of people are very high on him. The right tackle at Oregon State. He's big. He's strong. He's also very mobile. He is your Lane Johnson type of You know, he can play left or right tackle. If you want your right tackle to be as athletic as your left tackle, Fuego fits the bill. And, you know, offensive tackles are a priority position on draft day. Everybody talks about the quarterbacks, offensive tackles, cornerbacks, and defensive linemen. That's what general managers, that's what teams really like. And that's why you see those guys go in greater numbers than what is usually expected.
And again, this honorable mention category, Tony, you have, let's see, 10 guys listed. Only three of them are defensive players. So again, a heavy offensive group here. And I think you could probably have anywhere from 10 to 12 total offensive linemen and wide receivers taken in round number one, combined with those two position groups, because they're so valuable and teams are looking for them. So again, I'm with you. I think it's going to be heavy offensive group. Let's go to those defensive players very quickly. JT Tuimalo, who we talked about from Ohio State a bunch on this show. I agree. I have him as kind of a first, second round guy, very safe player, strong, good motor. I think his testing is going to be really big. Terrion Arnold, the cornerback out of Alabama, who I actually think might end up getting picked before McKinstry. I like Arnold a lot. We'll see where scouts have him. And then Byron Murphy out of Texas. Again, we talked about him last week. He's kind of been a late riser, very athletic defensive tackle that can get after the passer and stop the run.
Want to see what Murphy's true measurables are, because that will dictate what position it is. He is. I agree with you on Tuimalo of Ohio State, because Tuimalo, if you look at him, comes out of a three-point stance, stands over tackle, shows the athleticism to get out into space and make plays on zone blitzes or drop off the line and play in space. But again, if you go to the combine and you're a guy like him and you run a 4.8, that changes the complete perception that teams have of you.
It reminds me, Tony, of the AJ Epineses. You go back to that. And he's had some pretty good success in the league. And there's some other, and then there's one other slower early second round edge rusher. I think did he also go to Buffalo? I don't recall, but players kind of like that, who are those power edge players that can, and you know, testing's huge, because you know, in order to be a really good edge rusher, you usually have to be a really good tester. There are exceptions to that rule. So I think those numbers will go a long way.
What the testing does is the testing shows the upside, because everything being equal, the better athlete's going to win. So if you have a guy who runs, you know, a 260-pound guy who runs a 4.65 compared to a guy that runs a 4.79, the guy who runs a 4.65 has the potential to be a better player 2 or 3 years down the road. Doesn't mean it's going to happen, but it just means he's got those natural skills, and you could, if he develops properly, he should turn out to be the better player. That's why testing is important.
Yeah, and we've seen it go both ways, right? Like a guy like Rashawn Gary, right, who had very little or no production in college, tested off the charts, and guess what? In 2 or 3 years, Tony, he turns out to be one of the best pass rushers in the league, right? You know, in that situation, it worked. Then you have other guys like, let's say, Chaseon from LSU, right? He tested really well, but he never developed, and he never got to where teams thought you can go, which is why, you know, a lot of it's coaching and a lot of it is player want, and all that goes into the equation.
I'll throw a name out for you. And people who watch this show, who follow the draft for, you know, 30 plus years, Mike Mamula. Everybody remembers the story of Mike Mamula. Mike Mamula had an Olympian type of workout at the combine. I mean, he was off the charts, drafted early by a Rich Gotite, just did nothing.
Yeah, it's just kind of the way it goes. And that's why it's not a science, it's an art.
Nope.
Trying to figure this stuff out, right? And you got to talk to the guys, you got to get a feel for them, health, coaching, all that, you know, goes into the consideration. All right. Next week, we're going to do our, since there's only one college football game next week, the Army-Navy game. Tony, I'm going to try to get me one or two guys from that game, all right, that we could talk about. We'll go through the 2023 rookie class, how they've done through 14 NFL weeks here. So we'll compile a list, guys, that we want to talk about. We'll talk about that next week. And obviously more of the news with the transfer portal, declaration, Senior Bowl, invitation, acceptances. We'll go through all that next week, Tony. What should fans keep an eye on between now and then as college football season starts to wrap up? And I think we'll have the Heisman Trophy thing next week, too. We can talk about that also.
Yeah, Heisman Trophy is nice. But as far as the NFL draft is concerned, you know, who is declaring for the draft? Who is going back, who is entering the transfer portal. And just because you enter the transfer portal doesn't mean you're absolutely out of draft. It could mean that they're seeing what they could get in the NIL market, you know, which guys are sitting out of bowl games. And you're going to hear a lot of that over the next, you know, over the next couple of days, especially with all the bowl announcements or the bowl schedule being set up, because really setting, if even if they don't say it, you know, sitting out the bowl game is just a precursor that they're going to enter the draft or they're preparing for the draft. And again, you're primarily looking at the underclassmen, although there are some, you know, fourth and fifth year guys who have an extra year of eligibility because of the COVID season, which is driving scouts and teams nuts. We talked to Jim Nagy about it a while ago, driving him nuts as well, you know, but these guys have that extra season of eligibility and they could go back.
And then we'll start taking your questions as well. So next week, you can send it to us on Twitter right now if you want. I am at Schmelk. He's at Tony. What's your Twitter?
At Tony Pauline.
At Tony Pauline. Send those in to us, and we will get those questions locked and loaded over the next 2 weeks. Might not get to them next week, depending on how much news we have, but we'll certainly get to it the week following as, you know, that bowl season is starting to kick off, not a whole lot going on. So we'll get to those, and maybe I'll set up a little email for the show as well. You can send in some email questions if you're not on Twitter, and we'll get to those questions as we head into full speed draft season here as we close out 2023. Tony, this was fun, my friend. Talk to you next week.
Look forward to it, John.
For Tony Pauline from SportsKita, pardon me, I am John Schmelk. Thanks so much for being with us. A talking draft right here on draft season. Thanks for being with us.
Getting ready to take on spring? Make your first move with the reliable performance and power of Steel battery tools. From hedge trimmers and mowers to string trimmers and more, right now, you can save $50 on select battery tool sets. Real Steel. Offer valid on select AK system sets through June 16, 2024. See participating retailer for details.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.